Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson. I'm with the Wild Things. The anhinga is one of the large black birds often seen sitting with wings outspread along canals, ponds, and marshes in South Florida. It's the one with the long neck, long dagger-like bill, and long tail. Anhingas are placed by scientists in a family that includes only a few close relatives in India, Africa, South America, and Australia. The anhinga family is grouped with other families of birds closely related to pelicans. Like pelicans, the anhingas feed almost exclusively on fish and are expert swimmers with powerful legs and all four of their toes joined together by webs. A male anhinga is black with prominent silver-white markings on its wings, and especially as the nesting season approaches, buff-colored tufts of feathers that emerge from between the black feathers of the neck. A female anhinga has a brown head and chest. An anhinga's very long tail has a buff-colored tip, somewhat reminiscent of the tail of a wild turkey. This has given rise to anhingas sometimes being called water turkeys. Another colloquial name for the anhinga is snake bird, given because of the anhinga's frequent behavior of swimming only with its head and long, slender neck extending above the water surface. With the Wild Things is produced at the Whitaker Center and the College of Arts and Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. For the Wild Things, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson, out with the Wild Things. Anhingas are relatives of pelicans and cormorants that feed almost exclusively on fish. But unlike their relatives, anhingas capture fish by spearing them during underwater chases. An anhinga's legs are short but powerful and equipped with long toes, all of which are connected by webs. While swimming underwater, an anhinga spreads its long tail widely, using it as a rudder mainly for making quick movements upwards or downwards. Its wings are held tight against the body except when twisting and turning. Then they, too, are used as rudders, mainly guiding movements to the right or left. The anhinga's long neck is equipped with vertebrae and muscles arranged to allow it to stab quickly. With slightly forward-facing eyes, the anhinga can stab with precision. After spearing a fish, an anhinga comes to the surface and, with a strong flick of its bill, tosses the fish into the air so that it can catch it head first. Although an anhinga's head is small, it can easily capture a 4 to 5 inch fish and swallow it whole. The fish is swallowed quickly when caught head first, but the fish's spines prevent the bird from swallowing it if the fish is caught tail first. With the Wild Things is produced at the Whitaker Center and the College of Arts and Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. For the Wild Things, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson, out with the Wild Things. Without hands and fingers, how does the anhinga handle a slippery fish that is trying to escape? With speed, precision, and a very special bill. The anhinga's bill is 3 to 4 inches long, narrow, smooth, straight, and tapers to a sharp point. With the fish impaled on its bill, an anhinga comes to the surface and, with only its head and neck exposed, it flicks the fish into the air and catches it head first. From this point on, the fish is usually under perfect control as a result of another anhinga adaptation. Along each edge of its upper and lower bill, the anhinga has a row of tiny, sawtooth-like projections, all pointing into the anhinga's mouth. The more the fish struggles, the more it becomes impaled. There's only one way a struggling fish can move. In. This adaptation does have a downside for the anhinga. Small fishes take refuge among the fibers of the frayed ends of a rope floating in the water. An anhinga will stab into the frayed ends to grab, not spear, a small fish. In the process, fibers of the rope can become inextricably tangled in the sawtooth edges of the anhinga's bill. With the Wild Things is produced at the Whitaker Center and the College of Arts and Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. For the Wild Things, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson, out with the Wild Things. Most aquatic birds have feathers that are kept waterproofed and buoyant by daily preening with oil from the bird's oil gland. Not so the anhinga. While an anhinga has an oil gland that is often clearly visible at the base of its tail, it produces little oil, and an anhinga's feathers are very wettable. This aids the anhinga during its underwater chases. Without the oiling, an anhinga's feathers are much less buoyant because they become saturated with water. In addition, its bones are more dense than those of most birds, making the anhinga relatively heavier and, again, less buoyant. Thus, the anhinga can swim with essentially neutral buoyancy underwater, maneuvering with ease to any level it desires. A problem that results from such wettable plumage is that wet feathers are much less effective in insulating the bird, and it must quickly dry those feathers after swimming to keep warm. hence its characteristic sunning behavior with the bird perched on a log or limb with wings outspread in the sun. Perhaps it's because of this temperature regulation problem that anhingas and their close relatives are restricted to warmer areas of the world. With the Wild Things is produced at the Whitaker Center and the College of Arts and Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. For the Wild Things, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson. Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson, out with the Wild Things. With drainage of natural wetlands, anhingas are forced to use man-made habitats, sometimes with tragic consequences. A pair of anhingas pursued fish in the man-made lake just outside my office. A floating yellow barrier was installed in the lake to minimize impact of runoff from construction. The anhingas used the yellow float to emerge from the water and spread their wings in the sun to warm up after fishing. Unfortunately, a frayed rope was left dangling from the float. The female became entangled in the rope and died, tethered to the yellow float half in and half out of the water. She was there on Monday morning, and her mate was perched alongside. The male was so attentive to his dead mate that I left her as she was while I waited for the male to move on. He did not. For 5 days, he stood silently beside her. Sometime over the following weekend, the dead bird disappeared, perhaps removed by a passerby or a scavenging raccoon, and her mate disappeared. The truth is that beyond field guide descriptions, we often barely know the wild things around us. Very little is known of the social behavior of anhingas. These birds gave me a lesson in the value of life and the ties that bind individuals to one another and to the environment in which they live. With the Wild Things is produced at the Whitaker Center and the College of Arts and Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. For the Wild Things, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson.